We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. We trust that you had a tremendous Resurrection Sunday yesterday, and we are celebrating the goodness of God. We are really excited about what God is doing. And, a little over a week ago, we had our annual business meeting. We were celebrating the things that God helped us to accomplish in 2014. A little over a week ago, we were featured in a newspaper article in the Sunday newspaper, and I had communicated that it was regarding the Save Ukraine Now project, which you helped us with. We want to say thank you for that. I was able to forward that information on to the missionary who's coordinating that project. His father happened to have passed away it was a week ago Saturday was when the funeral was, and then my son ran into him the very next day, and you know, he was just blown away by the generosity of the people who are listening to the broadcast, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you do for helping us to reach this community with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you had a tremendous Resurrection Sunday. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 today, if you want to be turning there in your word. We do want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical for their assistance in helping us to continue the Refresh radio broadcast. And if you have anything that you need as far as heating, you're probably not going to need the heat again for a few months, but the air conditioning or the electrical, they travel up and down the county, and you can reach them at 632-9538. 632-9538. We do want to also, in the month of April, say thank you. If you are a listener to the Refresh Radio broadcast and would like to help us with the on-air expense that we have, if you send in a donation of any size to 165 North Grove Street, if you make the checks out, make it out to Merit Assembly of God, you can write Refresh on the bottom line. But we have a little gift that we would like to send to you. It's a lot of people have told me that they listen to the radio program here as they're driving to work, and I know that the number one beverage of choice on the way to work is coffee. And so we just have a little coffee mug that we would like to send to you to say thank you for listening. Thank you for praying. It's got Merit Assembly of God on one side. It's got Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs on the other side of the mug. And if you would help us out with a donation of any size, whether it's a dime or whether it's, you know, not a dime, or maybe you're listening and you can't afford to make a donation, but you'd like to have something to remember to pray for us by, if you'll just contact us and let us know, we would be more than glad to ship that out to you. We are thankful for the prayer support. We're thankful for everything that God is empowering us and enabling us to do. At our annual business meeting on Palm Sunday night, we were sharing how he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, that's our theme verse here on this broadcast. And what I want you to know is that God has been refreshing Merit Assembly of God as we have been bringing this program to you. He has been, his presence has been more powerful in our services. We have seen new people coming, new people joining the church. We have been seeing lives transformed. young people coming to know Jesus. It has just been wonderful to see everything that God has done in the past year and a half. And so we're thankful. If you'd like one of those mugs, just contact us. If you send in a donation, that is a blessing and a bonus, much appreciated. But if you'd just like a mug as a prayer reminder, we'd be thrilled to be able to send one of those to you. And we'll get it to you just as soon as we can. So again, that address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. So I want to take you to Romans chapter 8 this morning. This is the day after Easter. And as I was preparing to come into the station, there was a verse that was going through my spirit. And so I want to share that with you. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So today I would just like to touch base about the resurrection. I know we read the resurrection story on Friday's broadcast, but I want you to know that the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those are historical events, very well documented, very well substantiated. And I was just reading a newsletter, someone asked Josh McDowell how could he possibly defend the resurrection, and his response is, "I don't know how not to defend a historical event." And if you know anything at all about Josh McDowell, you'll know that he originally started his project, which resulted in a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Then it resulted in a second book, More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And he started out on that journey to disprove the resurrection and to disprove Christianity. But instead, he ended up being a believer and a very passionate believer, and presents the facts about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the transformative work in a very precise manner, so as to engage people, to let you know, look, you did not check your brain at the door when you became a Christian. your mind was renewed. All of a sudden you saw things that you did not see before. You understood things that you could not understand before, because the words of life are spirit and they are spiritually discerned. So it is a historical event, but it is also a transformative event. Today, on this Monday, your life is not meant to be the same as it was before Jesus' resurrection. Everything changed. Everything changed because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where before we were hopelessly bound in our sin, now we are, because of the confidence that we have in the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ, we are free. We are no longer condemned. We are forgiven. And so let me take you to verse number 11. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let me say this first, and that is, because Jesus was raised from the dead, he was the first fruits of those who are raised from the dead. And the first fruits is always just the beginning of the work that God is going to do in that process at a later time. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we can have hope that there is going to be a resurrection for all of those who are believers in Jesus Christ, those who are alive and those who are passed away. It is because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that when a believer passes away or is promoted into the presence of Jesus, that we may grieve, but we do not grieve as the world grieves. You know, I know that it would be very popular for people to say, you know, look, I loved this person, they died, therefore they are in heaven. This person was an American, and therefore they died, and therefore they are in heaven. But the key thing about access to heaven is not that it is an entitlement, but it is a privilege. It is a privilege that God wants every person to have as an experience and a reality, but it is restricted to those who will only operate in accordance with God's word and God's plan. The only way to get to heaven is to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. No matter how much I love a person, if they do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, it would be deception on my part to be able to stand up and speak authoritatively and say, you know, that they are going to be in heaven. Now, a long time ago, a pastor gave me this counsel, and he said, whenever you are preaching a funeral, don't preach about the person as if they were perfect, because there are people who know all about their flaws. And on the same side, he said, and don't preach all about their failures, because you don't know what grace God poured out into their hearts in the last moments of their life. And so when Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, I want you to know that in John, the third chapter, it says that if we do not believe in Jesus Christ, we stand condemned already. It's not that condemnation is not a reality. It is just not the realistic condition of those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It would be very deceptive to say, you don't believe in Jesus, oh, well, you're going to heaven anyway. That's not what the Word of God says. It is, forgiveness is available, and we've been talking about forgiveness. And so I want you to know that Jesus came and he went to the cross. I've shared this on the program before. I'll share it again. And that is this: if there was any other means by which forgiveness could be attained for us, then the crucifixion of Jesus was completely and totally unnecessary. The fact that Jesus went to the cross, embraced it for the joy that was set before him, that is the all the evidence that I need to know that I was hopelessly trapped in my sin except for Jesus Christ. And he came and loved me while I was still at war with him. He loved you while you were still at war with him. And so today, I want you to know that that historical event that we celebrated yesterday, Resurrection Sunday, it was also a transformative event. And here in verse number 11, it says, because if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, to come in and be the Lord of your life, to fill your heart, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions with his word, with his presence, that you hid his word in your heart that you might not sin against him. He said, if Jesus has taken up residence inside of you, he's dwelling in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. On Palm Sunday, the day of the triumphal entry, I was sharing how Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he went in and cleansed the temple, and then he healed the lame and the blind in the temple that came to him. You know, one of the first acts that Jesus did on during the Passion Week was he brought healing. He brought healing to people on Sunday. And one of the last events that he did before he went to the cross was he reached up and healed a servant by the name of Malchus' ear. He reattached Malchus's ear. I don't believe it was just there for cosmetic reasons. I believe he restored it to function. And so the Passion Week begins with healing. There is healing before the cross. And every time we celebrate communion, which we did yesterday, we celebrate our salvation and we celebrate the reality of healing. Palm Sunday, we concluded our service with having prayer for the sick. I'll be honest with you. I'm going around. I'm anointing people with oil. I anointed my own self. I prayed for my own self. I have a church that's standing with me in faith, and I'm praying for that detached retina that has since been reattached. I'm praying that every day that vision gets clearer, that it gets less cloudy, that things become less distorted, that they become more accurate in their reflection of their actual size and proximity to me. I was blessed to, back towards the end of spring training, to be able to go to my first spring training baseball game. And someone had an extra ticket, and they asked if I wanted to go. And I sat there. I grew up playing baseball. I like baseball. It happened to be one of the teams that was playing were the St. Louis Cardinals. They were playing the Nationals, and that was the team I grew up rooting for, was the Cardinals. And so I was there, and this is the Friday before Palm Sunday, and I'll be honest with you. I had a great time. I mean, the person that I was there is one of the most interesting men that I've ever talked to. He's just a fascinating guy. The game ended in a tie. We saw some plays that take place that took place in spring training that you don't see very often, and they were executed well. We didn't see any home runs that day, but it was an enjoyable day. But every time there was a foul ball that started to come off our direction, which wasn't very often, there was something inside of me that got a little bit nervous because of the blurred vision that I'm still experiencing a little bit in my one eye. And so it wasn't that I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to get my hands up in time. That wasn't it. It's the fact that because my vision is not completely and totally 100% restored, that sometimes when I think things are one place, my vision actually has my hands in a place that's different from where things really are. And so I was a little apprehensive every time I saw a foul ball come my way. It's like, am I going to be positioned in reality, or am I going to be positioned in perception? And so I'm praying for healing. I'm not lamenting the process. Every day I'm thankful. Every day I look and say, you know what? I can see better today than I could see yesterday. Right now, things are more accurate than they've ever been since I began this process. But Jesus did not go to all of that work on the cross. Here's my point. He didn't go through all of that work on the cross to come out of the grave triumphant and leave us in the same condition that we were before. It says that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. I believe that that is for healing. I believe that he can heal of a headache. He can heal of a cold, the flu, whatever virus. He can heal of cancer. I believe in the sufficiency of his healing. I believe that he can also give us supernatural strength and energy to be able to accomplish and function at a level beyond our own natural giftings. I also recognize that the culmination, the fullness of this manifestation is that should the Lord tarry and my body expire, that one day that the trumpet is going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I see three different levels of this verse coming to pass. I want you to know that Jesus wants you post-resurrection to be operating, not being led by the spirit or led by the flesh, not walking according to your carnal nature or your fleshly nature, but being led by the Spirit and walking empowered by the Spirit. It says in verse number 6 of Romans chapter 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You should think differently today than you did before you asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When we were sinners, we thought like sinners. We acted like sinners. We spoke like sinners. We behaved like sinners. It was our nature. Sin was our nature. But Jesus came and he changes our very nature. He changes our spiritual DNA. No longer is our mind fixated on the ultimate ending that sin has for people's life, and that is death. Sin ends in death. I want to focus on that just a moment. No matter what it is, sin ends in death. If you are a sloth, sin is going to end in death of your finances. You know, if I'm proud, sin is going to end in death of relationships. If I, you know, you put it in there. If I'm a glutton, it's going to end in the death of my health. I don't want that. If you do not honor your father and mother, it is going to not go well with you. You are not going to live long in the land. You are not going to be able to enjoy it. You're not going to be able to prosper. If I violate the Ten Commandments, if I do not honor the Lord, if I do not honor the Sabbath, if I do not allow my spirit, my body to have rest, it is going to result in death. If I covet my neighbor's wife or whatever you want to put in there, if I give in to adultery, every sin ends in death to something. You don't want that. If you are looking at it right now, and maybe you're into Minecraft or one of those other games, Candy Crush, Words with Friends, whatever those war games are and all, If you allow that to consume all of your time, it is going to end up in death to a lot of areas in your life. The carnal mind is focused on death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because of the work that Jesus did when he came up out of the grave, my mind is no longer death. My mind is life. What is the end result going to be? It's going to be life. If I love my wife according to the word of God, what's the result going to be? It's going to be life, and it's going to be peace. You know, this world is all about conflict. It's about someone conquering somebody else, and it's, you know, there's no peace in that area. And so I want you to know that Jesus did all of the hard work for us, so that when we accepted him in his resurrected state, that instead of being fixated on death, now we are focused on the life and peace that he has provided for us. Today, and I pray that there were people who gave their heart to Jesus, and the ones who did, you know, we're praying for you. But he did not have us ask him to be the Lord of our lives so we could go right back into the same trap that we were in before. I want to focus on something here. There's a key word in verse number 15, and it is this: for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Do you see that word again? He came and he set us free. He came to set the captives free. But he didn't set us free so that we could go right back into the same bondage all over again. If he set you free from alcohol, stay free from alcohol. If he set you free from drugs, stay free from drugs. If he set you free from whatever it was, run to Jesus. Do not walk. Do not crawl. Do not hesitate. Do not procrastinate. But pursue Jesus, pursue righteousness and truth with all that you have, and allow him to manifest that spirit, not of bondage, but of childhood, where you and I have been adopted into the household of faith, where we get to cry out, Abba, Father. Today, one day post-resurrection, we get to cry out to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you for setting us free from the law of bondage, the law of sin and death. Thank you for quickening mortal bodies. Heal right now in Jesus' name. Give supernatural strength in Jesus' name. And we look forward to spending eternity with you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And
And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be in